Monster Man, Episode 184, Devils, Part 3. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the D chapter of the Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And like our last two episodes, that means that today's episode is all about devils and buckle in, because we are going to be here for a while. By the end of today, we'll be 7 letters into the alphabet. Today, we've got two pretty senior figures in the diabolical hierarchy, starting with the archdevil Belial. Or maybe it's Belial. I, throughout my life, have always said Belial, but I've been listening lately, and this is how cool I am. I've been listening to a Bible podcast called Apocrypals. Two non-believers read the Bible, and they try not to be jerks about it. And they say Belial, and their scholarship is a little bit more advanced than mine, so I'm going with Belial, but if you were to tell me it was Belial, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. Anyway, Belial is one of the most important devils in actual Jewish and Christian religious texts. And it's very interesting, actually. It starts out as a word that seems to be a metaphor. You know, it comes from a word that means something like worthless. And people are referred to as sons of Belial, sons of worthlessness, you no good nicks, or lawlessness, maybe. And is used as kind of a description of violent people and criminals. But by the Dead Sea Scrolls, what you get is a personification of Belial as an evil angel. And Belial is given titles like King of Evil, Prince of Darkness, Angel of Lawlessness. Also called by a lot of other names, including Beliar. And this led to a very good joke about a monarch with whom he is associated being the Fresh Prince of Beliar. I like that very much. Anyway, point is that Belial is a demon or devil with a great deal of history and kind of name recognition in Judeo-Christian culture. One of Belial's most famous appearances is in John Milton's Paradise Lost. And this is where we get the characterization, I would think, of a lot of our devils. And I'm definitely going to read the bit about Moloch when we get to him, because I once had an NPC read that in a poetry reading in a game I was running just to put the frighteners on people. But Milton, and he's probably drawing on sort of medieval sources, Milton characterizes Belial as a spirit of sexual vice. Now, let's see what he says. So Belial is addressing the devils after Moloch has finished speaking, and Moloch basically says, you know, what have we got to lose? Let's fight, and if we die, we die. He ended frowning, and his look denounced desperate revenge and battle dangerous to less than gods. On the other side uprose... Well, the rhythm here seems to suggest that it's Belial. So I'm going to say Belial for the poetry reading. On the other side uprose Belial, in act more graceful and humane. A fairer person lost not heaven. He seemed for dignity composed and high exploit. But all was false and hollow, though his tongue dropped manna and could make the worse appear the better reason to perplex and dash maturest counsels. For his thoughts were low, to vice industrious, but to nobler deeds timorous and slothful. Yet he pleased the ear, and with persuasive accent thus began. I should be much for open war, O peers, as not behind in hate, if what was urged main reason to persuade immediate war did not dissuade me most, and seemed to cast ominous conjecture on the whole success, when he who most excels in fact of arms, in what he counsels, and in what excels mistrustful, grounds his courage on despair and utter dissolution, as the scope of all his aim after some dire revenge. First, what revenge? The towers of heaven are filled with armed watch that render all access impregnable. Oft on the bordering deep encamp their legions, or with obscure wings scout far and wide into the realm of night, scorning surprise. Or could we break our way by force, and at our heels all hell should rise with blackest insurrection to confound heaven's purest light, yet our great enemy, all incorruptible, would on his throne sit unpolluted. Yada, 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 yada. And then he says, thus repulsed, our final hope is flat despair. We must exasperate the almighty victor to spend all his rage, and that must end us. That must be our cure, to be no more. Sad cure. For who would lose, though full of pain, this intellectual being, those thoughts that wander through eternity, to perish, rather, swallowed up and lost in the wide womb of uncreated night, devoid of sense and motion? Nick Cave fans will recognize the line he later says, "What if the breath that kindled those grim fires awaked should blow them into sevenfold rage and plunge us in the flames, or from above should intermitted vengeance arm again his red right hand to plague us?" And Milton editorializes, here it's Belial. "Thus Belial, with words clothed in reason's garb, counseled ignoble ease and peaceful sloth, not peace. And after him thus Mammon spake." And we're going to get to Mammon, I think, next episode, or maybe the episode after. Anyway, a sneaky, honey-tongued persuader, that's a Belial, or Belial if you prefer, there to persuade people into evil, which is an important role for a devil. Maybe that would be the fellow that comes in and apologizes for the bearded devil. Then we've got Glacia, the princess of hell and daughter of Asmodeus. Now, this is a devil from the Lesser Key of Solomon, but very little of them is similar. So just the name is taken from that Goetic text. Here's what the Lesser Key of Solomon has to say. "Glacia Lobolus. The 25th spirit is Glacia Lobolus. He is a mighty president and earl, and showeth himself in the form of a dog with wings like a griffin. He teacheth all arts and sciences in an instant, and is an author of bloodshed and manslaughter. He teacheth all things past and to come. If desired, he causeth the love both of friends and of foes. He can make a man to go invisible, and he hath, under his command, 36 legions of spirits." So, in the Lesser Key of Solomon, just another devil. Here, we're given Glacia as daughter of the ruler of hell, Asmodeus. She's described as incredibly beautiful. And this is an instance where Holloway's expressive faces really make this illustration work. And despite the implied nudity here, I feel like it's not too cheesy, actually. And there's something slightly mocking in her expression, which I think works very well. It seems like the book envisions a more kind of non-combat role for Glacia, and that fits with her suite of utility powers. So we've got a lot of kind of detection and persuasion, and she can grant wishes. It says she's not particularly combative, although she has this poison short sword. She seems to me to fulfill the trope of kind of the tyrant's beautiful daughter. She's sort of like Princess Aura in Flash Gordon, right? Ming the Merciless's daughter. And that's actually not a bad comparison for Asmodeus. You know, it looks a little bit like that. So I think there's, although maybe Dispotter would be a better Ming. I can never remember which one is which because they look pretty similar. Anyway, similar robes. Yeah, so there I think, you know, she works well. It's kind of a pulp trope, but that actually makes her work, because I don't think there's anything about her character to suggest that she would be likely to fall for the good guy's blandishments. But that is what that character does, and therefore that's an assumption that the player characters might make, sort of subconsciously, is, oh, here's the evil emperor's beautiful daughter, well, she's going to help us get out of here. But she is really not. Or, if she does, it's going to be to advance her own agenda. And I think it's kind of in that range that she's described in this text as influential. I think that fits her character quite well. So, I went into this not expecting to like the hot princess devil. That's a sort of stock character that I find, you know, a little cheesy. But actually, I think there's a good amount of story potential in there, and that story potential builds on the stereotype, but doesn't exactly conform to it. So it relies on the fact that everybody knows that stereotype in a way that I think actually works pretty well. Okay, that is about all the devils that we have time for today, but we're going to continue our journey through this chapter, and it's going to be another good few episodes. So I hope you're enjoying our tour of Heck, because it's not going to be over soon. Please join me for more next time on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.